This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. Welcome to Issues 2018.
Thank you for having me.
The recent NCAA basketball tournament at Wichita's Intrust Bank Arena is being called a success by many. Tell us about law enforcement's effort to make that a safe weekend for visitors to Wichita. Did you have an involvement with it? I know the police department did.
Yeah, it was a great event. Intrust Bank Arena employs sheriff's deputies off duty to work inside there. We had about 20 deputies that were stationed inside and around Intrust Bank Arena to make sure the visitors were safe. The folks from out of town that came in town were safe and had a good experience.
Yeah, and it brings up a basic question I've wondered about before, maybe I've asked you about, and that is, within the city of Wichita, I do see a lot of sheriff's department presence. Your deputies are pretty prominent. I mean, a lot of in traffic situations and so forth. So how do you do that? How many of your people do you put inside the city limit, and how many are out running around in the county then?
Yeah, we have, you know, different sections. So we have a warrant section that's picking up people all day long, whether they live in the city or out in the county. And our substation is also in the city of Wichita. So when deputies are driving out to their beats out in the county, they encounter different issues, car accidents, or somebody that committed a traffic violation, so they're making car stops. But for the most part, they're out in the county.
Early in the morning, and this is not a daily occurrence, but almost, there is some sort of a chase, a pursuit going on. A lot of times, sheriff's involved in that. I noticed that you guys will scare somebody up, and then it's everybody after them.
Yeah, we've really looked at our chase policy, and so we've started kind of limiting what we chase on. Mm-hmm. But traditionally, you know, third shift hours, there's not a lot of traffic out, except for the criminal element. And so that's where we see the majority of our chases, is on third shift.
And me, I'm out there too. Yeah. So how would you characterize your working relationship with the Wichita Police Department?
Oh, it's good. Yeah. Yeah, we work together on different issues. We're partners, of course, on the training academy. Our narcotics sections are combined, and some other things that we work together on.
Do you have regular meetings or anything, or is it just an ongoing working
relationship? It's just an ongoing working
relationship. How about neighboring counties?
Yes, we have real good relationships with the neighboring counties. We work with mainly Butler, Reno, and Sedgwick County. Sumner County.
Okay.
On different issues that arise, because we have highways that go through each other's jurisdiction. So again, when we have car chases, those type of things, we'll have crimes that were committed in one of those counties and we arrest in this county, or vice versa. So we have a really good working relationship. I really look at this as more of a regional policing effort anymore, because our relationships with the cities out in the county are very good, and they have to be, because we rely on those cities to provide additional resources for us on calls, and we supplement them on calls. So those relationships are really good.
Talk about how you handle internal affairs and how you help other agencies in their investigations.
Mm-hmm. Well, if a citizen or somebody within the department files a complaint on a deputy, of course, those are fully investigated. They can be investigated by our professional standards unit or by the supervisor in charge of the personnel. It all depends on what kind of complaint it is. And then those particular complaints, once they're investigated, all the facts are determined. If there's discipline that's going to come out of that, then it goes through a chain of command up to me to determine what discipline will be imposed. We have been asked by other agencies to do internal affairs investigations for them because they don't have the resources to do that. So we do on occasion do or conduct internal investigations for other departments.
Do you go to outside agencies for your stuff, though, the Highway Patrol or anybody like that?
Not for internal investigations.
Not? Okay.
No.
Okay. Have you made a concerted effort to be transparent? And by the way, what does transparent mean to you?
I believe we absolutely have. We're a lot more open with the news media on information that we're providing. It used to be when we had officer-involved shootings, you wouldn't see us really put out much information or any type of evidence that we had gathered. We have changed that philosophy. What you see now is maybe not the entire video, but snapshots of that video because it's still evidence, and that's still a case that's being investigated to be presented to the DA's office. I think where we become very transparent is, unfortunately, we have individuals that make mistakes. That happen to wear a uniform. We don't hide behind the badge. They get treated like any other citizen would if they commit a crime, and we tell the news media about it.
You're going to find out anyway, probably, some way or other.
Yeah.
And in that regard, let's face it, that's a way for you to kind of control
yes.
what goes out, too, because you have legal ramifications for every piece of information, right?
Well, yes. You know, what a lot of people don't understand is that, especially on the internal investigations, why we can't talk about those officers or deputies have rights as well. And so I got to follow employment law. I have to, you know, in some of those cases, people have filed lawsuits against us. So I have to navigate through what information we're going to give out and what information we're not because of a pending lawsuit and because of the protection of the employee. So, yes, it's a tricky kind of place to be at because you want to be able to explain to the citizens what occurred, that we're holding the individual accountable, but we can't give all the information because of everything else that's going on.
We talked about this, I think, last time we got together, and that's the opioids and prescription drugs having a huge impact on health in many places across the country. We had a figure thrown out yesterday by, I believe, by Fox Network of 100 overdose deaths a day in the United States. Mm-hmm. Amazing. How about Sedgwick County? What's going on here?
Well, it's here. The heroin and opioid issues are here. We're not seeing it at the levels that some other communities are seeing it at, but these were communities that were similar to Sedgwick County that then were just inundated, and they're just overrun by the epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done, actually yesterday, I put together a meeting of health professionals, addiction service professionals, law enforcement professionals, and had an opioid meeting. What that meeting was about is to come up with ideas to look at to try to implement so that we can maybe steer this epidemic away from the Sedgwick County area before it gets here. And so it was a very, very good meeting. There's different programs that we're looking at across the nation to try to implement here. Unfortunately, in some of these communities, they implemented them too late, so now they're trying to play catch-up.
Yeah.
I want to try to get ahead of the curve and implement some of these programs now so that hopefully we're not hit as hard as some other communities.
Give us an overview, if you would, on the impact of illegal drug abuse in the county, all illegal drug abuse.
The biggest drug that we're facing right now and have been for several years is methamphetamine. It's the biggest drug that's in the market here in Sedgwick County. Drugs drives almost probably 90% of the crime that, that takes place in Sedgwick County. So your burglaries, your larcenies, all your property crimes, most of those are drug-related because they're trying to feed their addiction. A lot of the homicides that we have are drug-related as well. A lot of the domestic violence-type crime is drug-related as well. And so you still have those crimes of passion or opportunity that take place, but 90% of the crime in Sedgwick County is drug-related.
90%. Wow.
73% of our inmates that are in our jail are substance abuse addicted.
70%. Another problem is human trafficking. How do you define that?
Well, the way it's defined is that kids under the age of 16 that are either influenced or taken and brought to other jurisdictions, or sometimes we have it where they stay right here and they're put into the sex trade. That is mainly how that occurs. There's other type of human trafficking when you're talking about immigrants and those type of things. But what we deal with most here is the illegal sex trade involving human trafficking.
If there's a parent out there right now, my kids run away, and she's 13 and she's run away. I'm sure nothing will happen, but good gravy, that's the one you need to be really concerned about, aren't you?
We are concerned about,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. You know, local schools have had problems with threats on social media, mm-hmm. as you know. Does the Sheriff's Department get involved in that?
We do. We actually provide a safety mechanism for actually anybody, businesses and or schools, where we teach active shooter training to individuals that reside in those places. Of course, we go through every year active shooter training with our own personnel, how to respond, how to react, those type of things. Yes, we've had some complaints out in the county, some threats that were made. It always seems to happen after a major event like what happened in Florida. And this was no different. I think there was probably about three different threats just here locally that came in of potential school shootings that could take place.
Those kids, I guess they don't understand that once you put something out there on social media, it's out there.
Yes.
And I think about it too, though, Sheriff. You know, when I was a 13-year-old kid, I was pretty naive and pretty dumb. And I know you can't be lenient with these kids, but wow. That's pretty serious business now. I didn't make serious mistakes like that.
Yeah, I was pretty naive in high school as well. And, you know, I have four kids myself, and none of them ever did anything like that. I think there's times that some of these kids that maybe are outcasts, maybe have been bullied.
Yeah.
This is a way to get attention, but it's not the right way to get attention.
You know, there's been a lot of criticism of the way law enforcement responded to that shooting that killed 17 at that Florida high school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of second guessing there. What are your thoughts on that, if you have any?
Well, at the time, I was outraged, to be honest with you. I couldn't believe that a deputy or a law enforcement officer would react that way. That's not how we train our people. It changed after Columbine and all the issues that were raised there. Our training changed. And, you know, it used to be you'd have to have at least two or three to enter the building for cover and all those type of things. We're training now. Once you get there, you're going in to stop the threat, period. And, you know, in this profession, you know, there's a lot of – we take – there's inherent risks with this profession. You know that when you put the badge on. Our main goal is to protect life. And in those particular cases, that's what we're going to do.
I'm going to let you stick your neck out a long way on this one.
Okay.
There are people who think that it might be helpful if in the schools the teachers or some of the teachers were trained and had and were armed in the school just for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Is that something that – is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Or do you – what do you think?
I think it's up to each one of those individual school districts on how they want to handle it, because each community is different. Me personally, because we have carry concealed, and as long as those folks are properly trained and you know, if they wanted the sheriff's office to come in and train on that, I do know that if you have someone in there that's armed, it's probably going to end a lot quicker than waiting for law enforcement to show up.
If it's just by 3 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, right? I mean, just the most recent one in Maryland, yeah, unfortunately, 2 people were shot, but 17 weren't because there was an armed police officer in that
building. A school resource officer there, then, right?
And those cost money. We've had school resources officers for years, but with budget cuts and everything else, school resource officers out in the county went away. And so I think it's up to the individual school district. But I'm not against the idea if you have a well-trained teacher on staff that they want to arm.
Then you mentioned the Kansas laws have changed a little bit about concealed and carry. Is it illegal for me to put a gun on my hip and just walk around in public
with it?
Yes, it is. I put myself in the shoes of a law enforcement officer, and I'm thinking, whoa, I see some guy walking, and the first thing I'm going to do is I got to keep a real good eye on that fella. You can't, but you can't even ask him, can you?
No, it was a huge culture change when that went into effect.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't had that many issues, believe
That's
it or not.
True.
I thought we were going to with encounters between police and individuals carrying guns. But you have to consider, too, most of the criminal element is carrying the guns hidden. And that's always been an issue for law enforcement. And, we train for folks to encounter force with force. And if you're not, pointing the gun at us or anything else like that, yeah, you keep a little bit of an eye on them because they're armed. But I think it's the last couple of years here, it's gotten less and less now. The thing for the citizens that was very hard to understand was they could call, they called in and said, hey, this guy's walking down the street with a gun. Well, that's legal. We couldn't contact him unless they did a criminal act. Mm. Or were someone that we felt was going to do a criminal act by their actions. I will tell you the one issue I have with that whole law, though, and it is controversial. I don't believe we should be allowing individuals to carry rifles down the street like handguns.
Okay.
Rifles are much more dangerous, go a lot further, the rounds do, and have usually more rounds in them than semi-automatic handguns. So that, luckily, we've addressed a couple of those issues that we were having, and I haven't seen that for a while now.
Beyond a recent well-publicized incident in Wichita, is swatting a problem for local law enforcement?
That's the only case that I'm aware of that's happened here and also in the state of Kansas.
So, no. The answer is
no.
And you hope it won't
And I
be.
Hope it's not.
Yeah. That's going to get, that goes kind of back on the dispatchers a lot. They're going to have to make sure that the call they're getting.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I know. But
get into that issue whatsoever. That's an open case.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things there that
I mean, if a swatting call comes in, those dispatchers have a burden of trying to make sure, or they can't really make sure. But there's a lot of pressure on them. Talk a little bit about training for your deputies overall.
Well, we just built the brand new law enforcement training center, which is a state-of-the-art training center, at Wichita State University, along with the police department, and WSU is housed above us on the third floor, so we have access to students now. And we have 24 weeks worth of training. The state only they make us do is 14 weeks. So if you go
the
to Kaylee, minimum is 14 weeks. So KLETC does 14 weeks worth of training. We do 24 because we want an all-encompassing of everything that we face in this community to be trained on. So I think we do a wonderful job training our deputies from everything on how to write reports, how to enter personal communication skills, how to deal with people with mental disabilities, those type of things.
How's the body cam program working out?
Well, we have it in the jail, and then we have about 5 out on the street.
So you don't have everybody?
No.
Okay.
No. It's a major expense, and we're looking at it now to see how we're going to afford that in the next year or two.
And was it you and I, or maybe the district attorney, talking about body cams and the evidence that's generated by them? Somebody's got to keep track of all this evidence.
That's probably the district attorney, because it is tripled their work.
Yeah, they've got a workload there. Tell us about the Sedgwick County Detention Center, the jail. Any problems with crowding still?
We're overcrowded.
Overcrowded since they opened the door to that thing.
As of today, we're 62 deputies down. We're at crucial manpower issues is what we're having right now. So our folks are working 12 and 16-hour shifts, some of them 6 hours or 6 days a week. It's a huge problem for us. You have to understand that a whole shift for us is 75 people. And so we're down almost a whole shift.
And so how many total inmates, what's the population generally on that?
Well, as of today, it was 1,245.
1,245.
Mm-hmm.
What's it built for?
1,100.
Okay. Is it always that overcrowded? Is it always
yes.
that many?
Why we're usually about 215 to 260 over.
So why don't you just go in there and just take every one and let them loose, every other one and let them loose?
Well,
there are some programs that the county does.
But you have to understand that 74% of those folks in there are pretrial felonies. Folks aren't staying in there for – there's nobody in there that's been arrested for a possession of a dope charge. Those folks are out right away. There's really nobody in there that's arrested for a property crime, a felony property crime. All these folks are violent individuals that have been arrested for violent crimes, and it takes a judge to release them or for them to get bond. And a lot of these folks you don't want on the street.
Okay. Now – you provide, of course, we talked about the deputies, we talked about the jail, but also do you provide officers for the courts, right?
We do.
And how many people are involved in that part?
24.
Okay.
And we have several courts that we have to protect, the judges, the defendants, the attorneys, and we just added four personnel because we didn't have enough people working up there either.
So you're going to go back to the county? Well, I imagine... it's not a matter of funding, then. It's finding these people. And
it's a matter of finding them. I mean, with I know you're in the media, but with some of stuff that happens over the last 8 years, and some of it was self-inflicted with what law enforcement's done in different communities. But with the betrayal from the media on some of these issues, with you know the fact that we do a lot of good things, never really makes the media, even though we try to put that out there. A lot of folks don't want to be cops anymore. And one of our bread and butter was folks would come to us in the jail because they wanted to get their foot in the door to become either Wichita police officers or Sedgwick County deputies. Well, if they don't want to be cops, they're not coming to the jail anymore. And so that's the biggest problem that we're having. And we're trying to change that image and really go out there and recruit. But we're hurting right now.
As many stories as we can do about blood drives or, you know, mm-hmm. at Christmas time, you guys doing your part and all that. Mm-hmm. Still, the media works that way. Mm-hmm. It's the
bleeds.
the man bites the dog or whatever. Yeah. And you know how that works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
we just try to give you a fair shake. I guess that's all.
No, and I think we get a very fair shake around here.
But I understand.
But it's the national media that is.
Oh, and a young person out there? Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there an answer?
We just keep trying.
Yeah.
Try to you know, influence the younger generation that this is a worthwhile career, it's a great career, and try to get folks in the door.
And you know something, it's not just you. Throughout industry, throughout business, there are people my age, we call them the baby boomers, and really we're not really retiring yet, but mm-hmm. if we all decided at once, it'd be a heck of a shortage for you.
Well, and to be honest with you, in the law enforcement profession, there's not too many baby boomers left. That's true.
They were,
so they've all pretty much retired.
Okay. Now, what's exciting on your planning board? You got anything there?
Well,
have some positive days, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we put together a strategic agenda where we're looking at internal and external communication. And so we got very excited about the fact that we have a individual that's doing our Facebook and Twitter and all those type of things to get those positive stories out there, but also to alert the public when there's issues that have arisen or we're working major accidents to stay out of the area, those type of things. And that's been very well received by the public. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we're very proud that we were able to put together and get installed.
How are you going back to the county commission and saying, we need more money? You do that every year, don't you?
Well, we try to be judicious about it.
Oh, sure.
You know, to be honest with you, to try to help with some of the issues that we're having, one of the things that we're looking for this year is to change our work performance appraisals to more of a step increase, which would be a raise for the deputies.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking for myself, and every time I've encountered a sheriff's deputy, it's been not necessarily a bad experience.
Well, that's a good thing.
Probably because at the moment I wasn't breaking the law.
Just like today.
What a coincidence. All right. Hey, thanks for being with us. Always good to sit down and talk about what's going on with the Sheriff's Department. Of course, our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. And thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.